This is Dr. John Paul, along with Minister Linda from Life Saving Ministries. We want to welcome you to our study in spiritual mountain climbing. We've reached the summit of the mountain in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus preached on the Beatitudes. Our focus today will be on Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, but we will look back at our previous steps as we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us up with His message from His Word. The topic today is centered on Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. First, let us begin in prayer. Our most precious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for providing us with this time to gather together and study thy word which you've given to us. We thank you for blessing us with the pattern in which we are to live and show others the way they should follow after you so they too can be blessed. Now, Father, we give you honor, glory, and praise for who you are and what you've done for us. Give us the wisdom to understand and apply your words of instruction to our lives so that we may live our lives according to your pattern you have set before us, and so that we too may enjoy your kingdom of heaven while here on earth. In Jesus' blessed and holy name, amen. We begin each one of our programs with a theme song sung by Michael W. Smith called Purified. This song directs us to live a holy life that has been purified by the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ, who died for all our sins. We've been made holy through the transformation from the old man that we were to the new man we are today, for all who have come to love and know Jesus Christ as our Redeemer and Savior. Our prayer today is that someone who's listening to this program that has not made that decision will come to realize that it is Jesus Christ who is the only way to receive this transformation and be given the free gift of eternal life. As the scriptures say so often, only believe and have faith and trust in Him, for He is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. Throughout this series of mountain climbing that we've been teaching these past several weeks, there's been one word that's consistently been mentioned over and over at the beginning of each verse of scripture, beginning with Matthew 5:3, ending in Matthew 5:11. That's the word blessed. Anytime God repeats a word in His Word, He wants us to stop, take note, and realize its importance. In this instance, one finds God has repeated blessed 8 times in a row. That should cause one to stop and ask themselves, what is it that God's trying to tell me? Blessed means that a person can become happy, fortunate, and blissful when God bestows a well-being upon those who are faithful to Jesus Christ as their Savior. Jesus taught the Beatitudes for one simple reason. If one's willing to come by faith and belief in Christ as their Savior, then they will find the way to heavenly blessedness. Sure, it will require climbing the mountain of spiritual understanding as to what one must do to receive such blessedness. But it far exceeds the worldly path that's typical and normally followed by those who do not believe. So you say, Dr. John Paul, what is the difference? Well, first, one must understand that the worldly concept to happiness is found in riches, merriment, pleasure, leisure, abundance, and pride, and what the world has to offer. But the scripture tells us plainly in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Luke 9:25 also tells us, for what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Finally, in 1 John 2:15, the Apostle John points out, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doth the will of God abideth forever. It does not take a rocket science to understand what God's told us. I don't know of a single person that's ever been born into this world that's passed away and taken one thing with them into eternity. Do you? Our treasures are laid up in heaven, which God provides for us, and these are or cannot in any way, shape, form, or fashion be provided for ourselves. Jesus told the rich young ruler how he could have the riches in heaven, but he refused to follow Jesus and turn back to his worldly possessions. Matthew 19:21 tells us clearly, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Where does one store up the one's treasures for a true and proper eternal life? The answer is clearly stated by God in His Word, Matthew 6:19-21. The Word says, lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I repeated that for a purpose. Jesus desires one to build up treasures for heavenly and eternal purposes, and not for eternal reasons or purposes. In our key passage in Matthew 5:9-12, we're told that one is blessed when one is persecuted. If we're to be happy, fortunate, and blissful, then how on earth can we feel this way if we're being persecuted? Because the Scriptures reveal the fact that persecution is inevitable. It's part of Christian life. That comes out of John 15:18-20, and also out of Philippians. If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. You are of the world. The world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember, the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Those who are supposed to be Christians who are not being persecuted are those who are not living a godly life, because it states quickly in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, persecution comes from whom? Satan and his demon force, and it's designed to uproot God's word in our lives. Mark 4:16-17, they have no root and will suffer affliction. This is caused by one taking their eyes off Jesus and reverting back to living a worldly life. Hebrews 12:1-3, when one does fall into this pit of worldly living, one begins to live a life of despondency and strife. James 3:16 says, for where envying and strife is, confusion and evil, every evil work. Now, let's look on the brighter side of the picture. Even during the time of persecution, from many different forms, history shows that the church has always flourished and increased in numbers with zeal. It's also during this time that people's priorities get straightened out and the Lord Jesus Christ takes his rightful place in our lives. In the end, it works out for the good of the people and the church overall. Remember, one of the most deadly forms of persecution is when people speak evil of you individually because they do so in subtle and indirect ways. This is in itself seems to render many Christians ineffective. One must remember, it's not that you are they are threatening, but it's Christ in you that they're attacking. It is Christ in you that's receiving the attacks. When we partake in sufferings like Christ, we're going to be blessed and partake in the rewards. Romans 8:17-18 said, and if the children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worth to be compared with the glory which shall be received in us. That's also in 2 Timothy 2:11-12, Hebrews 11:16. Let's leap with joy, for in Christ Jesus we're blessed. When we are reviled and persecuted, why? Because our reward will be in heaven. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, as we close out this first part of our program, prior to Minister Linda's message, we'd like to extend an invitation to you to become an Airwave missionary on our Life-Saving Ministries team, where we throw out the lifeline to the lost. Only $1 per day, that's $34 a month, will help us do this each week as we get out the gospel message. Send your donations, comments, prayers, requests to Life-Saving Ministries, P.O. Box 2164. That's P.O. Box 2164, Tallahassee, Florida, 32316. 32316. God bless each one of you. Now, listen to Chris Tomlin bring this message in song as we hear the special message, How Great.
Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wrapped himself in light.
Minister Linda. Here on our spiritual mountain climbing expedition, we have been climbing for 9 weeks. We have climbed 7 knots of mountain climbing, and then now we are going on to the platform, the mountain peak, the summit today. It all started in the Beatitudes of Christ, where we started with step number one, which was humility, which was the step in which we had a conscious need. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The second step was penitence, where we were mourning for our sin and for the sins of others, knowing that all sin is against God. And that was Matthew 5:4. We went on to the third step, which was meekness, which was marking the birth of a new spirit, where we shall inherit the earth when we are meek, paying deference to the needs of others. We climbed up onto step number four, where we had a spiritual appetite that was signifying our growth, where we were thirsting and hungering after righteousness, and that is when we shall be filled upon salvation. The fifth step was mercifulness, which is an attribute of God indicating further advancement. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Remember, when we render mercy and tender mercy, we will receive mercy. Then we went on to the sixth knot, which was heart purity, which marks the attainment of higher attitudes, where we begin to have a vision of God. He said we must proceed with the vision or we shall perish. And then Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We then went on up to the seventh knot on the rung on a rope of spiritual mountain climbing, where we came into peacemaking, which is a Christ-like influence which calms the storms of life. For blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. And today, shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing, for we are on the eighth step, the summit, suffering for Christ, knowing that we shall be persecuted for righteousness' sake. We're dealing with Matthew 5:10, 11, and 12 today, which says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Matthew 5:11 says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Matthew 5:12 says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. We have been mountain climbing from the plummet to the summit. We have now reached a platform on which we must stand. This is the mountaintop, the mountain peak, that takes us from the plummet of sin to the peak of God's love, whereby we are endowed with the power of God, with the free gift of salvation freely given by God, which is eternal life, through his imputed righteousness, for which we will be persecuting. He gives us the power to stand on his word, where we must consistently, insistently, diligently seek and search in order to be kept in perfect peace and in spiritual freedom. We are now sure-footed, with our feet shod in peace and righteousness, growing spiritually day by day, able to wield and yield and shield via the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which will take us into a state of peace. We will be walking in God's unconditional love through his imputed righteousness, in which we must persevere, long-suffer, forbear, in order to be able to withstand the persecutions for his name's sake. Are you sure-footed with your feet shod in peace and righteousness today? The Beatitudes were the Sermon on the Mount that sets forth the principles of Jesus' kingdom at the beginning of his ministry. The Jews expected a kingdom of power and glory, but Jesus said that before that kingdom arrived, his followers would exist in a kingdom of poverty of spirit, mourning over sin, meekness, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, mercifulness, purity, peacemaking, followed by persecution. That kingdom will come in fullness upon the second advent. In the kingdom of power and glory, the ways of the world and worldly religion will have no place. To the contrary, meekness, peacefulness, mercifulness are its ways. That means that in the present era right now, it's time to be living the principles of heaven. Earth is the dress rehearsal for heaven. Our character will not change at the second advent. We must continue to be what we have been spiritually growing steadfast in Christ. Now is the time for us to let God change our heart and life so that we might be prepared for the fullness of the kingdom. Jesus never promised us a rose garden. He said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. And if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. But as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. His followers will be persecuted like he was persecuted, because when we live diametrically opposed to the culture of the world, we shall be hated for his name's sake. The plain fact is, true Christianity changes people. It makes them out of harmony with normal, which is sinful human culture. The result is persecution. Persecution has not always been gentle. The Emperor Nero, for example, wrapped Christians in pitch and set them afire to serve as living torches to light his gardens. He also sewed them in skins of animals and set his hunting dogs upon them to tear them to death. Other Christians were sewed into fresh animal skins and then put out in sunlight to dry and die as shrinking skins slowly choked and crushed their helpless bodies. Still others had parts of their bodies cut off and roasted before their eyes or had hissing molten lead poured upon them. The list of atrocities goes on and on. Even Jesus was not exempt. He died the excruciating and humiliating death on the cross. And persecution and discrimination aren't at an end yet. The Bible tells us that they will continue up to the end of times. I want you to know that those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake shall inherit the kingdom of God, and that while you are undergoing persecution, God has a protective covering over you. Persecution will indeed come to everyone who wants to live a godly life as a follower of Christ, but the rewards in eternity are great. Radical obedience is required to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not the good who are persecuted, but the righteous, those who are living the life of Jesus as set forth in the Beatitudes. True Christian righteousness makes mere human goodness and nobility look self-centered and shabby. It's one thing to be good, it's quite another to be humble and meek. It's one thing to be proud of our noble accomplishments, it's quite another to have poverty of spirit and a deep hungering for that righteousness and goodness that only God can supply. We might as well face it, the Beatitudes draw the battle line between the principle of Satan's kingdom and those of Christ's kingdom. And every conversion to Christ's way is an act in the drama of the great controversy between the forces of good and evil. We must remember that when we are being persecuted and unjustly treated, that we must leap for joy because God has us under his providential care. We must remember that people would rather hear smooth things than the call of God for repentance and reform. It was that straightforward call that has brought rejection and persecution to God's messengers across time. We must always reach out and ask God to help us to live his principles in spite of difficulty. He is always there for us. Again, it's one thing to be good, but it's quite another to be humble and meek. When one presents the love of Christ and the beauty of holiness, he is drawing away the subjects of Satan's kingdom, and the prince of evil is aroused to resist it. Persecution and reproach await all who are imbued with the Spirit of Christ. Therefore, we need to take stock of ourselves when all men speak evil of us. Suffering plays a vital role in the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 5:10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory of Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. I want to draw to your attention some of the sufferings of Christ. Isaiah 50 verse 6 says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And Luke 22:44 says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Hebrews 2:10 says, for it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, as make the captain of their salvation perfect through his sufferings. Hebrews 11:25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Are you ready to suffer for the pleasures of sin for a season? For we must suffer for Christ's sake. We will be persecuted. Hatred will come. Matthew 10:22 says, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Loss of life, Matthew 10:39, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. We must renounce all worldly treasures and suffer the things for his name's sake. There will be a loss of reputation for Christ, and even unto death. 2 Corinthians says in 4:11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Listen now to a song by Matt Redman entitled, Did You Feel the Mountain Tremble? Keep on mountain climbing, sure-footed and steadfast in the Lord.
Did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the sinners roar? When the lost began to sing, oh, Jesus Christ the saving one. A mighty river through the nations. When young and old return to Jesus. Fling wide you heavenly gates. Prepare the way of the risen Lord. Prepare the way.
Our program today is brought to you by Berean Christian Fellowship Church, located 6214 Blunstown Highway here in Tallahassee. Everyone welcomes you to their Sunday services, and prayer times begin at 9 o'clock, Sunday school at 9:30, and church at 10:30. Services are now in session, as well as Wednesday night cell groups with young adults meeting at 6:30 p.m. They offer special benevolence assistance and farm share on Thursdays from 11:30 to 1:30. Don't forget to join them at 10:30 on their Tuesday Bible study. God bless. Have a good day.